is AENN, American Exceptionalism News Network.
Everybody is to leave here immediately. This cafe is closed until further notice. Clear the room at once.
How can he close me up? On what ground?
I'm shocked to find that gambling is going on in here.
You're winning, sir.
Oh, thank you very much. Everybody out at once.
Round up the usual suspects.
2-1-1-0.
I know some people want me to bypass Congress and change the laws on my own.
It is the agenda for the 21st century you're living in today. For a brave new world where everything that you cherished and held true will no longer exist.
The original Constitution, I think it is an imperfect document, and I think it is a document that reflects some deep flaws.
And that would authorize him to use the military to arrest people in the United States who, in the president's opinion, are enemies of the country.
You'll find that they've also asked for the right to imprison farmers who wouldn't keep books as prescribed by the federal government. The Secretary of Agriculture asked for the right to seize farms through condemnation and resell them to other individuals. And contained in that same program was a provision that would have allowed the federal government to remove 2 million farmers from the soil.
New government Republicans and Democrats were busy shredding the last vestiges of the Constitution. They're talking about inserting the army into domestic law enforcement. The homeland is part of the battlefield, and people can be held without trial, whether an American citizen or not.
I have been often to, the mothership in New York City, but it's good to have an outpost of the council right here down the street from the State Department. We get a lot of advice from the council, so this will mean I won't have as far to go to be told what we should be doing and how we should think about the future.
Take off the tinfoil hat and put on the Kevlar. It's time for battle with Paul Preston and the Agenda 21 Show.
Well, hello and welcome to Agenda 21 Radio. This is the radio show that is stopping totalitarianism, one exceptional American at a time. And yes, ladies and gentlemen, if you're that exceptional American, then welcome aboard. Yeah, well, of course you are. That's why you're listening to this radio show. So anyway, we got a lot of things going on here on Agenda 21 Radio, things that I'm sure you're just absolutely going to feel exceptional about. And remember to visit our website, a21r.com. That's a21r.com. And, of course, newcaliforniastate.com. newcaliforniastate.com. It's just a beautiful day in the neighborhood. Don't you feel kind of liberated at this point? I mean, seriously. I mean, what's it all about anyway, right? It's about freedom and peace and love and all. Bobby Sherman. Remember that? Peace, love, and Bobby Sherman. That was a conservative sarcasm towards those people that were the hippy-dippy types out of Berkeley. Berserkly. But, you know, Berserkly's done so much harm to this nation. Really, it has. That whole part of Alameda. They ought to be thrown out of the new state of California or not allowed in. And that's a very real possibility. In fact, I'd say, yes, that's exactly what's going to be happening now. Exactly. Don't you love it when a plan comes together? Okay, we're checking out the scene according to our sources, who will remain nameless. The information just came to me that the president is going to be holding a news conference shortly. I wonder what he's going to do. I think he's going to get out in front of the jobs report. Maybe he's going to announce the new defense secretary. Oh, he'll announce the secretary, who he's going to choose, then he's going to fire the old one. That's kind of brutal, huh? Well, you know, Trump rope is in action. Man, this guy, I think his next thing is going to be whips. I mean it. It's going to be a Paso Robles inspiration. It's going to come down to this story in Paso Robles about this biker dude who was out there with a whip intimidating the... I mean, it's just... don't you have the visual? this. Okay, if you don't know, there's a story going around, apparently verified. It was verified last night by our wonderful representative from San Luis Obispo, who was on the call last night. We did our county's call for New California last night, county chair's call, and it was excellent. We had over 100 people on the, you know, we have a whole or part of 56 counties of the 58 counties in New California. And how do we have over 100 calls and video things going on? How did that happen? Well, some people snuck through. I think what's happening, it's only supposed to be for the chairman, but the co-chairs can come along. It's getting more popular. Anyway, we got, is there something wrong with me? Do I sound happy? That's because, you know, this job report's a big deal, so. Anyway, but the story is that the rioters were coming through Paso Robles, and the Paso Robles people weren't going to have nothing to do with this. This is just a couple nights ago. And, you know, we're working the system here. We're setting up the new militia. By the way, you can go to newcaliforniastate.com and click on militia and sign up. You know, it's really funny. I've got the little thing on my phone here. It tells me who signs up when I say that. So go there, sign up. It says militia and sign up, and I'll be watching the little ding, ding, dings come through here. And it's kind of like teasing the audience. But go ahead and do that. It's wide open. You can sign up. And anyway, the story is that this biker dude shows up, and the protesters are protesting. And they're coming there with ill intent. They're going to burn the place down. And guess what? All of a sudden, smackdown. The man with the whip shows up. And whipped him in shapes. Dun, 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 dun. Dun, dun. Whip it. That could do something good. Oh, it's whip it good. That's what it is, right? Anyway, so this guy shows up with this whip, and I guess, you know, frightens everybody off. I mean, the guy with the guy in Dallas, God love him, he came out to protect his property with a big sword. And you heard about that. They quickly got him with a brick in the head, Reginald Denny style. And, of course, he's out there with a sword trying to protect his property. It was not working out well for him. It just wasn't working out well for him, but that's neither here nor there now. It's sad to say, but this guy brought a whip. Now, you can touch somebody from afar with a whip, if you know what I mean. That thing travels past the speed of sound, you know, the end of that whip. That's why you get the whoosh, because that's the same thing as a jet going through the sound barrier. Same exact thing. A lot of people don't understand that, but it's the laws of physics. Anyway, so I'm in a pretty good mood about that. I think the president is going to come out and talk really about the jobs report. I think that's going to be kind of his main emphasis. We're going to cover this right now. If it's up and running, we'll see what we got going on. And so we'll go president. President press report coming up. It says president holds a Trump. This is 6 days ago. McEnany. She's one of the featured people, of course, in press conference today. And we got this live now. It says, oh, well, we're going to get live now real quick. It's live streaming to start soon is what they say. And yeah, isn't that interesting? McElhinney 3 days ago. That's old news. 1 week ago. Boy, they got the stuff that's all old news. We don't want to hear about that. But anyway, other places that Washington Post covers this. So we're going to be watching to see what happens. The president comes out. We got it on the right channel. We got it on the White House. Looks like the White House. Yes, we're going with the White House channel. And so in the meantime, I just want to jump all over some of the tweets that are going on out there. Remember, it's a free fire. And by the way, you can call in. The telephone number is 215-867-8255, 215-867-8255. The phone lines will be open in just a few seconds. Anyway, actually in the B block, so we've got to get through the commercials and all this other good stuff. And then we'll be opening up the lines. Gateway Pundit, before we get into Trump tweets. These are some of the headlines. Los Angeles Mayor Gil Garcetti to cut $150 million from LAPD budget and reinvest money in black communities. Okay, let's not be fooled. They don't have any money to do anything with anyway in California. They're broke as a joke. So they're going to start cutting money wherever they can because they don't have the money anyway. It's a fool's errand. They just they don't have the money, so we'll just cut it. We'll be symbolic. Do they really think this is going to fly in America? It says, Amazon censoring the Gateway Pundit writer Joe Hoff's latest book in God We Trust, Not in Lying Liberal Lunatics. I like not in lying liberal lunatics. It says, Larry C. Johnson, this is a headline from Gateway Pundit. Larry C. Johnson, black lives don't matter because truth don't matter. And Snowflake, New York Times journalist, revolt because of paper published op-ed by Republican Senator Tom Cotton. Remember, it was Tom Cotton who came out and they ran the article. It surprised everybody that they would do such a thing in the New York Times. And what happened was is that Cotton came out and said, hey, I support the use of the, are you kidding me, the Insurrection Act. By the way, you're going to hear more of the Insurrection Act soon as California drifts off into oblivion. The president's going to have to do something. Brian Dean Wright blasts Defense Secretary Esper for defying Trump, allowing mass organized rioters, looters to roam and destroy U.S. cities. Wow. That's a pretty interesting one. We're going to get to that one in a second. Anyway, and by the way, going viral, Candace Owens post video, I don't support George Floyd. He was a violent criminal. Anyway, stay with us. More to come here on Agenda 21 Radio.
We're sending out an SOS to the last vestiges of freedom, democracy, and the American way of life. Paul Preston with Agenda 21.
Protecting your phone conversations from snooping agencies, foreign governments, and those who would use your conversations to hurt you and your family is the most important action that you can take today. DEF, Defense Enabling Assisting Framework, protects all your conversations and text messages. Don't find your conversations on social media sites or in the storage bins with big governments around the world. Protect your conversations today with the DEF system. I've used the DEF system since 2014 and have been 100% protected. Go to a21r.com, that's a21r.com, and sign up for the DEF system today. That's a21r.com and sign up for the DEF system today. Protect your conversations today with the DEF system.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow. And like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat. I would flip-flop all night long. I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. MyPillow will get you into that deep sleep faster and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed. It's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry MyPillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Call 800-266-4715. That's 800-266-4715 when you use the promo code AGENDA. 800-266-4715, promo code AGENDA.
For the best night's sleep in the whole wide world, visit MyPillow.com.
Agenda 21 Radio is brought to you by Aram Solar. Yes, if you want to make sure your house is powered and you want solar, go to Aram Solar. But also, because of the recent behavior of California, boy, how appropriate it is we're talking about that right now. Shutting off power to 43 counties is not a fun thing. And by the way, it doesn't need to happen. But if it does happen, you need to be prepared. Get yourself a generator for your house. Aram Solar can do just that. It can provide electrical power at any time for any shortage that possibly
pops on. If it, your power pops off, they will pop on with a generator. All you need to do is give them a call at 866-676-5276. That's 866-676-5276. That's a ROM Solar, the best solar you can get, but also the best generation you can get when your house runs out of energy. Don't let yourself be held hostage by the energy companies any longer. That's 866-676-5276, Aram Solar.
There are enough laws on the books by Congress that are very clear in terms of how we have to enforce our immigration system.
All aboard!
He's undoing the UN, one community at a time. It's Paul Preston.
And welcome back to Agenda 21 Radio. Remember to visit our website, a21r.com. That's a21r.com. Over a million views. Candace Owens at it again. Our Candace Owens. Oh, yeah. You know, what is the left going to do with somebody like a Candace Owens who calls it out like it really is? You know, in the discovery. You know, when a guy like Floyd, you know, dies. It's sad. I mean, it's sad anytime when somebody dies, and you know, we don't even know all the details. Everything, you know, this whole thing is just fishy. And you had a somebody running for office in Texas, I believe, and she calls this whole thing a hoax. It was a faked death, and everything else. So they're out there talking about this kind of stuff. Shocking. Shocking. I don't know why they do such a thing. I really don't. Do you? Come on. Come on. Get real about this sort of thing. But, you know, when you start to look at how the left behaves, right, that's a whole different ball game, isn't it? So this is Candace Owens.
Video. It has been weighing very heavily on my heart and on my mind as well. And it was something that I wanted to say early on, but there were so many emotions and so much pressure for me to go with the popular opinion about who George Floyd was. And sometimes it can be difficult when there are just so many external pressures to say what you believe. And this was an instance where I felt like my silence would have been better in the beginning. But the more that I think about it, I realize that we are being sold a lot of lies, and at the detriment to the black community, at the detriment to the white community, and at the detriment to America as a whole. So I want to come out and say that I do not support George Floyd and the media depiction of him as a martyr for Black America. I'm going to explain why, and I hope that some of you guys will understand where I'm coming from. I have spent a considerable amount of time reading a lot of Black authors that I think are some of the most brilliant Black Americans breathing. Walter Williams, Shelby Steele, Thomas Sowell, and I recently came across something that was an idea that was planted into my head by Shelby Steele, and it has been something that I cannot forget. It is something that will stick with me for the rest of my life, and it is something that I hope for the Black Americans that are watching will stick with you for the rest of your life. Shelby Steele said that the Black community is unique from other communities. Our culture is unique from other communities because we are the only community that caters to the bottom denominator of our society. Now, let me explain what that means. It means to say that not every Black American is a criminal, not every Black American is committing crimes, but we are unique in that we are the only people that fight and scream and demand support and justice for the people in our community that are up to no good. You would be hard pressed to find, you know, a Jewish person who has spent five stints in prison, who commits a crime and dies while committing a crime, and that the Jewish people champion and demand justice for. You will be hard pressed to find this in white America. You'll be hard pressed to find this even in Latino America. If there is a person that is spent multiple times in prison, you are not going to see a bunch of Latinos coming out demanding justice for this person, even if, and I want to be very clear, what I'm saying is not any defense for Derek Chauvin. I hope Derek Chauvin gets the justice that that he deserves to be implemented upon him, and that the family of George Floyd deserves justice for the way that he died. But I also am not going to accept the narrative that this is the best the Black community has to offer. For whatever reason, it has become fashionable over the last 5 or 6 years for us to turn criminals into heroes overnight. And it is something that I find to be despicable, and it's something that I refuse to stand by any longer. And I am not going to play a part in it, no matter how much pressure comes from Black liberals and Black conservatives as some token of people wanting you to believe that this is the only way you can be Black, is you have to say this was wrong and that this, you know, this person was amazing. I won't do that. George Floyd was not an amazing person. And as soon as this video hit the internet, I did just basic searches. Everyone jumped on it and called and was looking at the police officer, and everyone agrees that the police officer was wrong and the police officer has been arrested. So that is not the reason I'm not discussing that, is because that is not something that has been misconstrued in the media. He has been turned into the devil that he is, and there is no reason for us to harp on that any longer, because white Americans are not uplifting Derek Chauvin as a victim or pretending that he's an amazing human being. But George Floyd is being uplifted as an amazing human being. For those of you who have not yet seen the clips and did not pursue or wait for more clips to come out, first and foremost, George Floyd at the time of his arrest was high on fentanyl and he was high on methamphetamine. This came back in both of his autopsy reports. If you pursued the 911 transcript, you can see the person describing somebody who is out of their mind high, and which is what made the person fearful, because he tried to, you know, to use a bill that I guess was a fake bill to purchase something, and then he was outside acting weird, and they, in their police call, said that this person was obviously distorted and on drugs. When he is put into handcuffs and is put against the wall, a baggie of what looks to be like cocaine or it's a white baggie that he drops onto the floor that you can see in an image. If you look up the clip, the media is refusing to circulate it. You can find it on Twitter. If you use DuckDuckGo and look up George Floyd baggie, you can watch the clip yourself with your own eyes. He had drugs on him at the time of his arrest. Now, barring all of that, nobody thinks that he should have died during this arrest, but what I find despicable to be is that everyone is pretending that this man lived a heroic lifestyle when he didn't, and I want to talk about what his lifestyle was leading up to this moment, and why I refuse to accept the narrative that this person is a martyr or should be lifted up in the Black community, and that we should be buying t-shirts with his name on it, okay? So here we have, first and foremost, let's start from the bottom of his record. And by the way, I am not saying that if you have a record, you don't deserve a second chance. I think people get arrested, and some people can serve time in prison, and I believe in second chances, but I do draw the line when it comes to second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth, and ninth chances. 1998, he spent 10 months in prison for theft with a firearm. That was the first prison stint that I could find on him. In 2002, he spent 8 months in prison for a cocaine offense. In 2004, just 2 years later, he spent another 10 months in prison for a cocaine offense. In 2005, he spent another 10 months in prison for having less than 1 gram of cocaine on him again. In 2007, and this was the biggest instant that I had that made me realize this was a horrible human being that I am not going to pretend was a good person. In 2005, a woman who was pregnant received a knock at the door, and she went to the door, and the person pretended to be someone that worked for the water department. So she opened her door and quickly realized that the person at her door did not work for the water department and attempted to slam it. At the moment that she was attempting to slam it, a Ford pulled up and another 5 men jumped out of the car, and one of which was George Floyd, came up to the door, and they forced their way inside to her home, inside of her home. Mind you, this woman is pregnant. At that point, George Floyd took out a gun and pressed it to her stomach. She was screaming, begging for her life, and he put her inside of her living room and instructed one of his criminal friends that was with him to watch her and to make sure she didn't leave the living room. So he was playing guard while they ransacked her home looking for drugs and money. They did not find drugs. They ended up taking, I believe, her wallet and her cell phone. Fortunately for her, her neighbor observed what was going on and caught the license plate of the people as they pulled off and called 911. And when 911 was able to, they were able to track down the car of which George Floyd was the driver, and they arrested him. And 2 years later, he was sentenced to 5 years in prison for that instance. Now, you can say the media is portraying it like he was just getting his life together after, you know, being released in 2014 following that incident. He was just getting his life together and moved and was going to start afresh. I'd like to believe all of those things. And there's a gap, and he never got in trouble for 5 years until this incident when the police were called on him again. But you are defying common sense to believe that this person suddenly became an exemplary character but happened to be high on fentanyl and methamphetamine and trying to use a bill, a fake bill, to purchase something. And so in my opinion, George Floyd was a criminal. He was a criminal. And just because he was a criminal doesn't mean he deserved to die at the knee of a police officer. But it does mean that I am not going to play a part of the broken black culture that always wants to martyr criminals, who wants to pretend they were these upstanding human beings that just wanted to help society, that just wanted to reach out and uplift society. And he has a rap sheet that is long, that is dangerous. He was an example of a violent criminal his entire life. Okay, up until the very last moment. Now, again, I want to be clear. This is not a defense for Derek Chauvin. No one that I have spoken to, no one in the news is defending Derek Chauvin. He is getting what he has coming to him. Okay, great. But why are we pretending that this criminal should be upheld as a citizen, as a martyr in Black America? A martyr for a fake narrative, by the way. Police brutality, racially motivated police brutality, is a myth. Okay,
so ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States, death, right, accompanied by the Vice President of the United States,
pretending this was some upstanding citizen in the Black community who was tackled down and killed for no reason, right? Not only are we allowing it to inspire riots in which Black people are dying, in which actual upstanding Black citizens are dying. Case in point, I'm sure you guys have all now seen David, the sheriff that just was shot and killed because he was trying to protect a pawn shop.
That was David Dorn, and we're going to put this up on our website. It's up there right now, but we're going to go to the president. The president is now speaking. It's a press conference, known as a press conference. He's got some people behind him. Here we go.
Well, thank you very much. It's a very big day for our country. It's affirmation of all the work we've been doing, really, for 3.5 years. This isn't just over the last few months. This is for 3.5 years. And it's a great thing. We were very strong. We had the greatest economy in the history of our country. We had the greatest economy in the history of the world. And that strength let us get through this horrible pandemic, largely through. I think we're doing really well. Vaccines, by the way, I had a meeting yesterday on vaccines. We're doing incredibly well with that. I think you're going to have some very positive surprises. And therapeutics, likewise, we're doing extremely well. Cures, we're doing well. I think those two words really blend in with each other. But tremendous progress is being made on vaccines. In fact, we have ready to go in terms of transportation and logistics. We have over 2 million ready to go if it checks out for safety. And it's also, the nice part is we have four companies, I guess you could even say 7 or 8 companies that are doing some similar and some very different on the vaccine front, and some similar and some somewhat different on the therapeutic front. So tremendous progress is being made on that. And I think even without that, and I have to say, even without that, and I don't think you're going to be having to use that in the future, that statement, even without, because I think they're going to have it. But we're going to be back, and we're opening our country, and I hope that the lockdown governors, I don't know why they continue to lock down, because if you look at Georgia, if you look at Florida, if you look at South Carolina, if you look at so many different places that have opened up, I don't want to name all of them, but the ones that are most energetic about opening. They are doing tremendous business, and that this is what these numbers are all about. And you have to remember one other thing very importantly. I think it's extremely important for you to remember that many of our states are closed or almost closed. Some of the big ones, New York, New Jersey, they'll start. They're starting now to get open, I hope. And I hope that you also use our National Guard. Call me. We'll be ready for them so fast. Their heads will spin. We did it in Minnesota, in Minneapolis. We were incredible. They were ripping that place apart. I love it. We had such success there. And they were ripping it apart. And I called the governor, and the National Guard went in. And one night, it was over. You don't see the problem in Minnesota now at all, not even a little bit. You take a look at a great city, a great city, Minneapolis, and it was under siege like nobody's ever seen, where people are running from a police department, the great police, and they were told to. They didn't want to run. They were told to. It's bad governing. And I'm not blaming the governor. I'm blaming the mayor. But we want to get all of this finished. This is a great tribute. What we're announcing today is a tremendous tribute to equality. We're bringing our jobs back. You know, when we had our tremendous numbers, and when we had just prior to the China plague that floated in, we had numbers the best in history for African American, for Hispanic American, and for Asian American, and for everybody. Best for women, best for people without a diploma, young people without a diploma. I mean, so many different categories. Our numbers were the best in almost every category. We had the most people working in the history of our country, almost 160 million people. We were never even close to that. So we had things that we were doing so well, and then it came in. But we're going to be back there. I think we're going to actually be back higher next year than ever before. And the only thing that can stop us is bad policy. Frankly, left-wing, bad policy of raising taxes and Green New Deals and all of the things that you have been writing about long and hard, that will stop it like you wouldn't believe. And frankly, it's holding it back. If there were no possibility that can happen, and I like to be an optimistic person, I think we're looking very good. I think even before today, the polls that I've seen and the polls that we do were looking very good. But if we didn't have the possibility of having massively higher taxes like the Democrats want to do, and Green New Deals, which are totally ridiculous, frankly, ridiculous, And I'm a big environmentalist. I believe strongly in taking care of our environment. We have the cleanest air we've ever had, like over the modern era, which, let's say you go back 30 years, we have the cleanest air, the cleanest water we've ever had. We're setting all sorts of really good environmental records. We're very proud of that. But the Green New Deal would kill our country. Green New Deal would have a devastating effect on the world. And it's not going to happen anyway, because it's impossible for them to do it. If you ever look at what they want to do under the Green New Deal, it's like baby talk. But we are doing something that this was an important day, because this shows that what we've been doing is right. And the reason it's been and is so good is because the body was strong. Our body was so powerful that we could actually close our country, save millions of lives, stop people very early on from China from coming in. Because we stopped early, at the end of January, very early, people coming from China who were infected coming into our country. It was a very hard decision to make. Almost nobody wanted me to make it. I would almost say nobody wanted me to make it. But we made that indecision, and even my enemy said that was an extremely important. We saved tens of thousands of lives with that decision. So we did a lot of things, and then we really ended up with empty cupboards. We went into a ventilator period that the likes of which nobody's seen since the Second World War. We mobilized. Nobody's ever seen anything like it. And then we did tests. We're over 20 million, or very close, but I think we're over 20 million tests, more than anybody in the world. Germany is at about at 4, and South Korea is at 3.5. We're over 20. And by the way, when you do more testing, you have more cases. We have more cases than anybody because we do more testing than anybody. It's pretty simple. But this is outstanding what's happened today. Now, they thought the number would be a loss of 9 million jobs, and it was a gain of almost 3 million jobs. Nobody's ever seen anything. I think it was Incredible in a couple of ways. Number one, the numbers are great, and this leads us on to a long period of growth. We'll have the greatest, we'll go back to having the greatest economy anywhere in the world, nothing close. And I think we're going to have a very good upcoming few months. I think you're going to have a very good August, very good July, but a spectacular, maybe spectacular September, but a spectacular October, November, December, and next year is going to be one of the best years we've ever had economically. And if you look at the numbers, they bear it out. But we were strong. It's sort of like when you go in for an operation, if a person is healthy, we were healthy. We had the greatest economy in the world. We went in for an operation. We closed our country down. We closed it down. We saved possibly 2 million, 2.5 million lives. Now, it could have been 1 million lives. I don't think anything less than that. But if you think we're at 105 million today, 105,000 today, that would mean at the lowest number, it would be 10 times that amount. And I think everybody believes the least, if we went herd, as they say. And if you look at Brazil, they're having a very hard time. And by the way, they kept bringing up Sweden. It's come back to haunt Sweden. Sweden's having a terrible time. If we did that, we would have lost 1 million, 1.5 million, maybe even 2.5 million or more lives. So we're at 105,000 lives. Big move closing it up. We also closed it up to Europe. Europe became very infected from China. A gift from China. Not good. They should have stopped it. They should have stopped it at the source. But it's a gift from China and a very bad gift. I will tell you that. And you do say, how come at Wuhan, where it started, and they were very badly, they were in bad trouble, but it didn't go to any other parts. It didn't go to Beijing. It didn't go to other parts of China. Then you say, how come it came out to Europe, to the world, to the United States? So it didn't go to China. They stopped it cold. They knew it was a problem. But they didn't stop it cold from coming to the United States, Europe, and the rest of the world. Somebody has to ask these questions, and we'll get down to the answer. You know, we made a great trade deal. Great. They're going to buy $250 billion worth of product. And by the way, they are online. They're doing okay. But the ink wasn't dry on that deal when the plague floated in. What's going on? A plague is floating in from China. What's going on? So the ink wasn't dry. So I guess I view the trade deal a little bit differently than I did 3 months ago. It's a great deal. I will say they are buying a lot from us, and in that way I respect. And getting along with China would be a good thing. I don't know if that's going to happen. I'll let you know. We'll let you know. I think they want to get along very much with us. But we built a tremendous thing, a tremendous power platform. So when it got ill, when we had a problem, we were able to cut it off, stop it, just like this. Stop it. Keep everyone inside. Keep them away. Keep them together, away, uninfected. And we saved millions of lives. And now we're opening, and we're opening with a bang. And we've been talking about the V. This is better than a V. This is a rocket ship. This is far better than a V. A V is wonderful. A V is this. They were talking about, will it be a V, a U, an L? They had no idea. And I was watching one of the shows, and I have great respect for the people. And they said, will it be 9 million in job losses? Will it be, what will be the number be? Will it be, are they going to report record numbers? Will we break 20%? What will the number be? And, you know, I don't know. Because we were in, and I don't think we're in that territory anymore, we were in uncharted territory. Nobody's ever had a situation like that. So the number was 9 million, and one of the people was getting, no, I think it's going to be 10 million. That's 10 million negative losses. And then somebody else said, no, we think it's going to be 8.7, 9.2. Everyone was right around that number. This is great geniuses, and they are. I watch them all the time, and oftentimes they're right. Warren Buffett sold airlines a little while ago. He's been right his whole life, but sometimes even somebody like Warren Buffett, I have a lot of respect for him, they make mistakes. They should have kept the airline stocks because the airline stocks went through the roof today, and others did too. The whole market went through the roof. But they said 9 million, 9 million job losses, 9 million. It's what going to be. Are we going to break 20%? Are we going to break it? And then the numbers came in, And one of the folks that was reading the numbers said, wow, this is a great number. It's only 3 million job losses. And then reading it and said, you know, I don't think this, I'm not reading this right. Let me look at it again. Oh, wait a minute. This is 3 million gain almost. 3 million jobs gained. And then they shouted out, one of them sort of semi-shouted out, is this a typo? I think it was probably the greatest miscalculation in the history of business shows. The history of business shows talking about Wall Street. And that's okay. But one of the reasons we're in this position is because we had such a strong foundation. So we were able to close our country, save millions of lives, open, and now the trajectory is great. Don't forget, New York is barely included, and that's one of our big ones. California is barely included because they're not open, and they should open. By the way, the mayor of Los Angeles wants to keep this thing closed for a long time. Look at what's going on in Florida. It's incredible. The job the governor of Florida has done, it's incredible. The numbers they're doing, you've got to open it up. And you do social distancing, and you wear masks if you want, and you do things. You can do a lot of things. You're getting closer together, even you. I notice you're starting to get much closer together. It looks much better, I must say. You're not all the way there yet, but you'll be there soon. But it's a tremendous thing that happened. And the reason it happened is because we had a really strong patient. We had a patient that was so powerful, so strong, that we could close it and open it. And I give it this analogy. Somebody told me yesterday, it was Larry Kudlow. He said, sir, this is like a hurricane. And we were worried. We didn't know, is this going to be a hurricane or a major, major recession? A major recession that's not artificially caused, because we artificially, this was artificially closed. We just said, boom, closed. And everything just stopped. And also, you know what else stopped? Big numbers on death by doing it. And that's why I had to do it. We've made every decision correctly. But it was like we stopped. So it was an artificial closing. And then what happened, very incredibly, is the numbers go, and Larry was saying that with a hurricane, you have a horrible hurricane in Florida or Texas, and it's devastating. And then the hurricane goes away, and within 2 hours, everyone's rebuilding and fixing and cleaning and cutting their grass. And I've seen it in Texas. I've seen it everywhere. I've seen it everywhere. Texas had a massive one. Louisiana, hurricanes. Florida, hurricanes. But what happens is right after the hurricane, boom, and this is what this is. This isn't a terrible recession. I don't even mention the D word. I don't talk about the D word. I don't want to talk about it. Because every time somebody even mentions it, I don't like the D word. But if you had a really, really big, bad recession, it would take, it could take 10, 12. How long did it take in 1929? It took many years to recover from that. How many years? How long?
10 years.
Yeah, 10. I heard 10. I think longer than 10, but that's okay. I heard 14, 15 years. Larry says 10, so let's go with 10. But it takes a long time to recover. But a hurricane, you're back in business in 1 day, 2 days, 3 days, and it's devastating and it's hard. And this was a hurricane. And it's going to get better fast because a lot of the numbers that you see, they're early numbers. They're not even from this last month. And by the way, speaking of that, you had the greatest 50-day rally in the history of our exchanges. The greatest 50-day rally. And we have a lot of protesters. And we have something else, right? We have something else. We have a pandemic. We've made tremendous progress, really, on both. If you look at where we've come on both, we've made tremendous progress on both. Tremendous progress. But you're looking, and the people are now starting to return to work. So it's been an incredible thing to see. It's been a beautiful thing to see. The experts predicted that the economy would lose tremendous numbers of jobs. And, of course, from the beginning it has, but you're going to see how fast that's made up. I'm telling you, next year, unless something happens where the wrong people get in here, this can turn around. Your 401ks will go down to numbers. If people didn't get rid of stocks in their 401ks, they're almost even. Think of it. With a pandemic, And with one of the worst things that's ever happened, our country has never lost 105,000 people, whether it's World Trade Center, which was 2,900, or Pearl Harbor, which was less than that. We've never lost anything close to this. But it's not only our country, it's the whole world. The world is suffering so badly. 186 countries at this moment. And that affects us, too. But we're a positive force. We're the key to the world, in a sense. And the fact that we're doing well, I see already they're starting to do much better in other parts of the world. That's a great thing, because we're working with the world. And we'll work with China, too. We'll work with everybody. But what happened should have never happened. So we had a tremendous morning, a tremendous announcement. It was shocking to even great pros. I watched Maria Bartiromo. I watched Jim Cramer. I watched a lot of people. Joe Kiernan, he was pretty positive. Charles Payne, he was very positive for a long time. A lot of people got it right. They had confidence in me. They had confidence in this team, and they got it right. I think that's the only thing they could base it on, because we were uncharted territory. It's like to just say that renewal, restoration, and recovery of the most vulnerable areas of America is going to be my focus. It's going to be a big focus, because it's taking care of itself, but we have to help that very vulnerable area. They're vulnerable. It's not right, and we're helping them, and we have helped them in the past, and we're also to opportunity zones, criminal justice reform. Nobody's ever done for the black community what President Trump has done. Think of it. Historically, black, small colleges and universities, they would come here for money every year for many, many years. After 3 years, I said, why are you doing this? Why do you keep coming here? They said, because we come. I said, don't you get a long-term deal so you don't have to come? The head of one of the very respected colleges looked at me and said, sir, we're like beggars. Every year we have to come to Washington and beg for money. I said, you should have a long-term deal. And we signed a long-term deal, so they don't have to come. I'll miss them. I told you, I'll miss them. I got to know them. But the first year, I didn't think anything of it. The second year, I said, that's strange. Why are you here? And then the third year, not so long ago, same people. The heads of the historically black small colleges and universities, 44 people, maybe a little more than that, a little less than that sometimes. But after 3 years, I said, what are you doing? They said, the past administration did nothing for us. The administration before that did nothing for that. So I'm going to do it. So we did the opportunity zones with Senator Tim Scott, who's been fantastic. And by the way, it's one of the great unknowns, because the opportunity zones, you don't talk about, it's one of the most incredible success stories ever in terms of the inner cities and in terms of black and Hispanic and Asian unemployment. Opportunity zones, you ought to do some stories about opportunity zones. Billions and billions of dollars of private money are being invested and putting people to work and getting money that they've never made before. So it's been really a terrific thing. It's now time for us to work together as we rebuild, renew, and recover the great promise of America. And that's true. We're going to work together. It'll all work out. It'll all work out. Some governors may need a little help yet, but I think for the most part, they're in good shape. We have fantastic military. We have fantastic National Guard. National Guard was barely used. And these people have done an unbelievable job. They helped the Secret Service at Washington. Secret Service, by the way, are unbelievable. The job they did at the White House is unbelievable. There was never any form of like, oh, gee, this sounds dangerous. All I could see is what I was seeing on television. But they were outside, and the Secret Service was incredible. But we were also helped by the D.C. police, and we were helped by the National Guard. It was unbelievable. They came in, and this was like a piece of cake. And I really am suggesting, because if you look at Minnesota and the great success we had there and other places, I'm suggesting to some of these governors that are too proud in New York, I mean, you see what's going on there. Don't be proud. Get the job done. You'll end up looking much better in the end. Call in the National Guard. Call me. We'll have so many people, more people than you have to dominate the streets. You can't let what's happening happen. It's called dominate the streets. You can't let that happen in New York, where they're breaking into stores and and all of the things. And by the way, hurting many small businesses, you can't let it happen. Equal justice under the law must mean that every American receives equal treatment in every encounter with law enforcement, regardless of race, color, gender, or creed. They have to receive fair treatment from law enforcement. They have to receive it. We all saw what happened last week. We can't let that happen. Hopefully, George is looking down right now and saying, this is a great thing that's happening for our country. This is a great day for him. It's a great day for everybody. This is a great day for everybody. This is a great, great day in terms of equality. It's really what our Constitution requires, and it's what our country is all about. I just want to finish by saying, to save the economy, we passed several pieces of critical legislation totaling many trillions of dollars, meaning three. We're set up to do more if we want. I think we should, because we are dominant. For many years, as a bystander, but somebody that loved government, somebody that loved this country, I would watch and study and see, and just, you know, when I say study, naturally study by watching. But if you go back, China was going to catch us in 2019. And that was like a given. You know, they, you go back 5 years, 6 years, 7 years. It was always, yeah, China will catch America, catch the United States, and in 2019, and then it'll become the dominant economy. Never happened. It's not going to happen. We dominated them over the last year and a half, 2 years. We took in tens of billions of dollars in tariffs that they paid for. I gave some of that money, just a small fraction, to our farmers, which made them whole, more than whole. That's why they're all in business. Made them more than whole, and it came right out of the tariff money. And the reason we didn't pay is because China devalued their currency, and they paid. Plus, they also put additional money to it. Because if they didn't do that, nobody would have bought their product. We made a great deal because of that. That's the only reason we're able to make a good deal, because of the possibility of tariffs. Because China has taken tremendous advantage of the United States. We helped rebuild China. We gave them $500 billion a year. How stupid are the people that represented our country with China and many other countries? But that's all changing. And it was in the process of changing very big. You know, again, China had a very bad year before the plague. And now I think hopefully they're going to have a great year. I want them to have a great year, but we're going to have better years than they ever had. We have a better system, much better system. We made Americans sure of themselves, and we took care of families. We gave benefits, and we sent $1,200 to every individual making less than $75,000, and $4,000 to every family of four earning less than $150,000. That's a lot, isn't it? You know, when you think $150,000, but that's what's happening with our country. If you look at other countries, even countries that you think they're doing well, they don't talk about $150,000 as being median. $150,000. That's tremendous. That's a great tribute to the people of our country. The job surge that we're seeing right now is widespread. Leisure and hospitality added 1.2 million jobs. Construction jobs are up, listen to this, 464,000. Education and health services rose 424,000. Retail trade is up 368,000. And here's the one I like the best. Remember, previous administration, that you need a magic wand for manufacturing. Manufacturing, which we had up to 600,000 jobs prior to the plague, manufacturing rose to 225,000 jobs, up by. So we picked up 225,000 manufacturing jobs. That's very unexpected. Everything that you've seen this morning is unexpected. Even the pros sitting here would understand that. Everything. We also smashed expectations on the unemployment rate. The prediction was that the unemployment rate would rise to over 20%, and instead it dropped to around a little more than 13%. Slight difference.
Well, we're going to have to leave now because we got to end the hour, and we're going to come up, go through all the stuff at the top of the hour with Red State Talk Radio, the Talk Monster, which is where this show broadcast out of Washington, D.C. We emanate, we begin in Studio 21 in Northern California, but it gets shot up there by the satellite down to Washington, D.C. So anyway, I want to thank all of you for listening to Agenda 21 Radio. Remember to visit our website, a21r.com and newcaliforniastate.com. Especially newcaliforniastate.com. I suggest if you want to join the New California State Militia or become a part of it, go to the website newcaliforniastate.com and sign up. Anyway, thanks for listening to Agenda 21 Radio. Remember, stay strong, America. We are exceptional Americans.
We are sending out an SOS to the last vestiges of freedom, democracy, and the American way of life. Paul Preston with Agenda 21.
You're listening to Paul Preston's Agenda 21 Radio. Stay tuned for more of Paul Preston's Agenda 21 Radio.
This is AENN, American Exceptionalism News Network.